Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, December the 6th, Pope Francis invites Christians to open their hearts to God and to those in need as they undertake the Advent journey to Christmas. Aid agencies express concern for a deteriorating humanitarian situation for Ethiopians displaced by the conflict in northern Tigray state. And the director of a new documentary that follows the daily life of an English priest explains why he decided to make a film about the highs and the lows of priestly mission. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis addressed the faithful on the second Sunday of Advent, inviting them to undertake a journey of conversion as we prepare to receive the Lord. He also looked across St. Peter's Square, noting the preparations going on to decorate the Vatican Christmas tree and unveil the nativity scene, both of them symbols of the light of Christmas and the coming of God.
Non c'è pandemia, non c'è crisi che possa spegnere questa luce.
There is no pandemic or crisis, Pope Francis said, that can turn off the light of Christmas. He was speaking on Sunday morning as he greeted the faithful following him from St. Peter's Square or through the media during the Angelus.
Nella piazza è stato innalzato l'albero del Natale.
Noting that the Vatican's Christmas tree has been erected in the square and that the nativity scene will soon be unveiled, the Pope said that in many homes, these symbols of Christmas are being set up to the delight of all.
Sono segni di speranza.
They are symbols or signs of hope, especially during this difficult time, he said.
Specialmente in questo tempo difficile.
Inviting Christians not to stop at the symbols, but to understand their meaning. Let us allow that light to enter into our hearts, he continued, and reach out towards those who are most in need. Thus, God will once again be born in us and in our midst.
Nascerà nuovamente in noi e in mezzo a noi.
The Pope's words came after having reflected on the Gospel passage for this second Sunday of Advent. The reading from the Gospel of Mark, he explained, revealed an itinerary of faith that is similar to the one that Advent proposes to us, that we prepare ourselves to receive the Lord at Christmas. He focused his catechesis on the need for conversion, which, he said, means to change direction and orientation, and thus also to change our way of thinking.
E quindi anche cambiare il modo di pensare.
In the moral and spiritual life, he continued, to convert means to turn oneself from evil to good, from sin to love of God. Conversion, Pope Francis said, involves suffering for the sins committed, the desire to free yourself from them, the intention to exclude them from your life forever. Thus, he continued, it is also necessary to reject things like a worldly mentality, excessive esteem for comforts, for pleasure, for well-being, for wealth. At the end of the path of conversion, he said, is the search for God and his kingdom. This means that the abandonment of comforts and a worldly mentality is not an end in itself, but is aimed at obtaining something greater. The kingdom of God, communion with God, friendship with God. Pope Francis invited believers to open themselves up to the beauty, the goodness, the tenderness of God, leaving what is false and fleeting for what is true, beautiful and everlasting.
Maria Santissima,
he concluded, recalling that on Tuesday we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and he prayed Our Lady to help us to separate ourselves more and more from sin and worldliness in order to open ourselves to God, to his word, to his love, which restores and saves.
E al suo amore che rigenera e salva.
As fighting continues in some areas of northern Ethiopia, aid agencies are warning of a deteriorating humanitarian situation. Pope Francis has twice appealed to warring parties in the Horn of Africa nation to reject violence and find a peaceful resolution to disagreements. But as Nathan Morley reports, tens of thousands have fled the violence between government forces and the Tigray People's Liberation Front.
Over the last few weeks, thousands of people have died and more than 40,000 refugees have fled to neighbouring Sudan. However, sporadic fighting continues between government forces and the Tigray People's Liberation Front in the north, compounding an already fragile humanitarian situation. Relief agencies have expressed concern at a lack of fuel, food and medicines. Cameron Hudson is a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Africa Centre.
Well, right now it's really hard to assess that's the degree of the humanitarian crisis, because the region has been so cut off to outside humanitarian assistance and even communications. So even though this week the UN reached an agreement with the Abiy government to allow humanitarian access into the region, we've seen that fighting has really prevented those assessment missions from even getting eyes on the situation.
Cameron says the recent fighting has only compounded an already difficult situation.
Even before this conflict started, this was an incredibly insecure region. As much as 20% of the population was food insecure. There were over 100,000 internally displaced. There are estimates now that there are 1 million internally displaced people. We really only have access to about the 50,000 or so that have crossed the border in the last few weeks into Sudan. But we know that there are pockets of internally displaced that we are not able to access. And the fears are growing that those are populations that were surviving on international assistance. And so we really don't know what we're going to find when we're finally able to access those areas.
The main military operations in the Tigray region were completed last week, with the country's army chief saying that the government forces completely controlled the regional capital, Mekelle. For weeks, the Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, had vowed that the military would bring an end to the fighting in the region and remove its leadership, which his government regards as illegal. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In China, 23 people have died after being trapped in a mine in the southwestern city of Chongqing. Reports by the official Xinhua news agency said the accident on Friday is the region's second in just over 2 months. Many of those who died were trapped underground by excessive levels of carbon monoxide gas at a coal mine. The agency said search and rescue efforts lasted for over 30 hours. It also said the accident is being investigated. Following Britain's exit from the European Union, or Brexit, the two sides now face deadlock over an important trade deal. As Stefan Boss reports, talks were underway on Sunday to secure an agreement governing almost €1 trillion of trade a year.
Negotiators desperately tried Sunday to prevent the five-year Brexit divorce from ending up messily. The urgent talks came as Britain and the European Union faced the economic costs of the COVID-19 pandemic. That worries the British government and the European Commission, the EU's executive. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen instructed their negotiators to secure a deal governing almost $1 trillion of trade a year. But that won't be easy. One of the disagreements is over access to British waters by the EU's fishing fleets. France is among member states demanding such fishing rights. The issue over fishing erupted last week, with Britain accusing the EU of making extra last-minute demands. Another is what measures there should be to ensure fair cross-border trade on both sides. British Environment Secretary George Justice expressed concern about the ongoing dispute over fishing and business rules.
The sticking points remain quite fundamental ones. We've been clear all along that we can only do an agreement if it respects our sovereignty, that we want to be doing a free trade agreement as a sovereign equal with the European Union. And so anything that undermines our ability to control our own waters, for instance, or undermines our ability to make our own laws, isn't something we can accept.
But as he boarded a train back to Brussels, the EU's chief negotiator Michel Barnier sounded non-committal ahead of Sunday's talks.
Keep calm, as always, and if there is still a way, we will see.
However, time is running out. With less than 4 weeks to go before Britain completes its journey out of the bloc, both sides must also get agreement on any deal from their parliaments, and the EU's executive needs to get approval from all its 27 member states. Without a deal, border checks and taxes will be introduced for goods travelling between Britain and the EU. At the end of this already turbulent year. For Vatican Radio, Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And we end this broadcast shining the light on a new documentary currently available online that follows the day-to-day life of an English priest from the beginning of Lent to Easter Sunday. Entitled simply Priest, the documentary follows Father Paul Grogan as he carries out his ministry in the parish of Mary Mother of God in the city of Bradford in the north of England. Made before the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, The film shows the priests supporting parishioners in various moments of their lives, from the opening scene of a funeral to the administering of the last rites. Speaking with Lydia O'Kane, the film's director, Michael White, explained why he wanted to make a film that explores the highs and lows of priestly mission and why it was such a privilege.
I think that people have a rather simplistic view of the work of a priest. They tend to see it as quite an easy life. You know, they've got a roof over their heads, they've got a job for life, they've got God on their side, and, you know, they just see them sort of perhaps wandering around, doing a little bit of chatting, and most of the time their image of them is when they're fronting the service and, you know, holding mass and things like that. So, you know, I wanted to show that it was much more than that. And also to show that priests are human beings. They have feelings. They're not removed from the day-to-day anxieties and the stresses of life and all of that. So I wanted to show it, if you like, warts and all in that sense, and show that, you know, behind the collar there's a human being with his own feelings and worries, concerns, vulnerabilities, etc.
Michael, you're quoted as saying that making documentaries is an immensely privileged thing. Could you expand on that?
Yes, because I think, you know, you enter into a complete stranger's life. I did explain to Father Paul that, you know, there'd be times when he might not want me to be there because it might expose something to him. And I said, but as a filmmaker, that's when I will want to be there. Aside from the good times, I want to be there when it's not so good for you in that sense. So to have that privilege and to record is really quite immense. And in the film, for instance, there is a scene of Father Paul giving the last rites to Mary Cunningham. And I cannot tell you how privileged that was to be in that room at that particular time, because I had no right to be there. Let's say I didn't know the family. I'd filmed Mary two or three times before she started to demise, if you like, and go into that coma. But she was gone with Father Paul to her bedside and talked to her and watched Father Paul converse with her and bless her and take her. You know, then, you know, obviously he did the confession, which obviously I wasn't there when he did it, but, you know, all of that. But to be in that room at that particular time is such a privilege.
And that was the director of the film Priest, Michael White, speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. Meanwhile, for these and other stories, and to hear this broadcast as a podcast, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch our latest updates on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to Vincenzo Proto in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.